This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:46. We are calling the October 3rd essay meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
Present.
Here. Listen, you need to pay attention. First on the agenda is the approval of the September 26th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, the September 26th meeting minutes are approved. Next portion on the agenda is open microphone, Executive Vice President Ballard.
Hi. So if anyone in the audience has something that they'd like to address the student assembly with that is not currently on our agenda, you can step forward now. Great. You can sit down and speak into the mic. Make sure you say your name and your year for our record.
Speak into the mic. Yeah, you just have to speak into it because we can't. Yeah.
Great.
Based on the
the party solves the problem of not fitting in. The main people feel out of place of the way what's worse is there seems to be an understanding that I'm right. And that's when Dr. J.D. remembers who we are. I found that multiple students have multiple essays that are represented as raising concerns in the first organization with the name of these hundreds of emails in two organizations. There is an understanding that this legislation has encouraged groups to run and such a lot of groups who do say ANA or ALNA or Asian, just as those groups are required. You're fetishizing diversity instead of allowing individuals to be individuals. You're attempting to do the very opposite of the state's objective, and that's the worst possible outcome. 1,000 organizations go out and play a number of games based on targeting groups instead of individuals in today's world. But hopefully, we won't actually. Hopefully, and more broadly, student organizations will only do lip service that is unavoidable, both in that there is no way to engage through offending, and there is no tool for punishing those who are offending. We all know what the important road. Well, true, we actually have legislative authority to change the ministry of organizations' activities. I think the rest of the revenue should know the state's authority and innovation to be students considered. So we know there are no. And we know that most, if not all, student leaders are in favor of organizations becoming more inclusive and becoming more diverse.
I'm sorry, that's time. Is there a second? Extend by how much?
2 minutes.
Okay, so you have 2 more minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 45 is not policy. Resolution 45 is targeting, and targeting creates distrust. Distrust does not create community, and groups do not exist without community. If we want to preserve diversity by student organizations, it is a moral imperative to make work for Resolution 45.
Sure. Great.
All right. So, Ulysses will respond.
Sure. I'm just going to, I really do appreciate your comments. I wish you could come, could you come last year to the meeting and express that? It would have been great. Just a couple things you were referencing. So the plan that's sitting, that's on the USB website, it looks horrible in formatting. But that's actually the assembly's internal plan. That's not everybody else's plan. So when you're talking about like the committee, looking at organization committee structures, that's for our own internal stuff. Because we have never captured who's actually in our committees, and we were criticized last year because of the demographics of our committee. So I know it does seem, and we talked about this extensively, there was a big debate about it. We just need data. We have no baseline data. So it's not, that's not the end all be all, but that's just kind of a first step in getting stuff. So we are working very closely with HR and State Hall to actually figure out the best way to do that. And it does seem a little target. I'm not going to lie to you. It does seem target. But that's absolutely not the intent. The other part of that is the definitions that you're talking about are from the university's plan. We just use them in there. It's from toward the destination. So like increasing target pipelines, increasing like group, blah, blah, blah. Like that's all from the university's plan. Ujamaa and Alana, we wanted to make sure we actually wrote the concerns of the FA members from last year in that plan. Because those are points that we all came up with in discussion. And that's why Cameron, who's not here, the VP of Diversity and Inclusion, and myself have been going to individual groups. Because it's only 50 groups this year, less than 50, that we're actually looking at this. And it's going to be a review process after that. So we figure out if this process worked, if it didn't, and all of them will be soliciting feedback, or we'll be soliciting feedback from all of them at that point. And if it doesn't work, we'll change it. This is not, nobody's married to this right now, but we are committed to it. The other part of that is President Scorton, in his response, or my comment, Jessica King, and I don't think he read the entire thing, because along in that same response, he also suggested that we have a phase implementation plan, which is the whole thing anyway. But we did and still have been working with SLECA, which is the New Student Activities Office, to actually implement it. So it wasn't like we just went behind their back and did it. It was an agreement, and they were actually going to put it on OrgSync, but OrgSync didn't quite work out this year, so another story. But yeah, but I do appreciate your comments, but that's not what we're trying to do exactly. So,
all right, next on the speaker's list. You can respond if you'd like to, but otherwise, as boss, would like to speak to you.
Not responding.
No, he's open separately with the microphone.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think in recent.
Yeah.
And if you have an internal documentation and you set that up as an example and it has targeting,
Thanks. Enrico would like to speak also.
First of all, I don't, like, Ian, this is why I said you need to fix Cornell USB. The plan that's at the bottom of CornellUSB.com is the same plan that we passed last week. It's the five initiatives that the Assembly chose, which I'm saying is an internal document. We put it up so everybody knew the Assembly was also doing this, and these are the initiatives we chose, based on the same principles that we pulled from Toward New Destinations. That's why that document is up there. So that's what Cameron came up with, but that's what we voted on last week. What we're asking all the other student organizations to do, the byline funding groups this year, as well as the top tier of the SASC performance, whatever, is, and this is why I explained to ISB and all the other groups, is to choose three initiatives based on composition, inclusion, and engagement. We are giving you a set of core principles to look at. We're not telling you what initiatives to choose or how to get there. It's up to you how to get there. It's up to the organization. So, for instance, a lot of homophobia is not discussed in the Black community, point blank period. So that's something the SU could talk about if they so chose. The same way as mental health is not talked about a lot in the Asian community, something that could be talked about. Same thing I mentioned to ISU, looking at how the international student identity fits in across other identities on this campus, but in other communities, essentially. So we're asking people, the organizations, to take a moment of introspection, look at the things you're doing well, expand upon them. If there's an area in which you think you can improve, expand upon that. Use that as one of your initiatives. We're not necessarily telling you, oh my God, make sure you get all the Black people in your group. We're not focused on so much on the compositional piece, because that's where a lot of times we fail when we talk about diversity, because we talk about composition and getting a whole bunch of different people in the room. We're concerned about what happens after you get all those different people in the room. So that's the composition and the inclusion and the engagement piece of that. So I think Black Republicans are shunned. I do. That's something that could be addressed. It's just different organizations can use this to the best of their ability. That's what it is. So. Sorry.
All right. So, Jeff, do you want to respond one more time?
Yeah, and I just make a quick comment. You know, I just think that President Smith expressed a lot of the reasons why people supported USD, but I'd also say that I don't think USD is set in stone right now. You know,
exactly.
Something that's evolving. And so what I say is, definitely reach out to whoever your representative is and continue this conversation, because I don't think that there's anyone on the Assembly, myself included, who are sure of the best structure for USD. Our end goal is to promote a conversation about diversity, which I think is good. But if there are problems that we have with this, then we certainly should be fixing them and changing the plan that we have. So I'd certainly suggest contacting your representative and having that conversation further, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to have a huge substantive conversation in 10 minutes here about something that's complex, but I do think it's a conversation that we should continue to have.
Great, and seeing that there's no one else in the speaker's list, unless you have something else to say.
In touch with a lot of
All right, thank you so much. Next on open microphone is Ross Gitlin.
Well, I would just also say thank you for coming. I know that I think regardless of United Student Bodies, where whatever does happen, we all can, I can probably speak for everyone, that we have a long way to go on this campus to make sure that everyone feels included. So, but thank you for sharing your comments. The one thing that I would note is Ulysses, Monet, and myself, Monet's PGSA president, met last night. We have a meeting the first Wednesday of every month. And the Trustee Council annual meeting is coming up October 24th through the 26th. So if you guys have anything in particular that you'd like me to share with members on the Student Life Committee, or even on the academic affairs committee, I'd be happy to sit down with anyone prior to October 24th and 23rd to speak with you, because that'll be our first chance to speak with the trustees.
Great.
Okay.
Alright, thanks Ross. Is there anyone else who'd like to say something during open microphone? Alright, open microphone is closed.
Great. Next on the agenda is announcements and reports. First is a FARC update. Representative Murphy, she's not here. So great. Representative, you're on FARC? Oh, if you want to speak for it. So Representative Stefanko.
Nothing too substantive from the meeting. I guess you could turn this topic and the new members kind of what we've been doing as well as some of the initiatives that we're working on. And then could be something significant next week that I want to kind of update you guys on, is that Amy and I are meeting tomorrow with Gretchen, who sort of has been working with on FARC, to discuss the new substance grant, which is at about $1.3 million generated from about $7,000 of interest. We're also paying out about 12 of that. Tomorrow we need directions to be a bit related to move a portion of that to either other places in the financial aid office or potentially the community assembly. So that's going to take place tomorrow and it could be
Great. Thanks. Next is an AAP outreach announcement. Representative Drucker. Fantastic. Look at AAP doing big things. That's how we do it. Next is Arts and Sciences Outreach Update. Representatives Lou, Thompson, and Tolkien.
So And I just want to commend all the rest of the community to work on continual outreach events for the community. As you all know, each constituency and college rep, you have a different fund for semesters to plan your own outreach events. Everybody that is in some area now is contacting me, so I'm going to try to start scheduling one-on-ones with all of you to start planning your own events. Just want to say a great job, guys, so far, for you and your community.
Thanks. Next on the agenda is a CD update by VP of Diversity and Inclusion Pritchett, who's not here. Is anybody else on the CD?
We'll skip it. He told me he was going to be
here. Okay, well, we're going to skip that one. So next is going to be a Community Life Committee update, Representative DeFecco.
Yeah, I'll try to start with a little update. First of all, I'm with Joe Burke today. Two different initiatives. I'm with MLCCC, Environment. The committee, she said that one of the initiatives that she just wanted to put into the topic of women in all of our campuses. Joe first was surprised and receptive to it, and he said as long as we get people who actually like to compost and a place to put it, that we would pay the organization themselves, as well as any sort of documents that we want to put up. So that's pretty much ready to go. We're interested in getting more involved with that. Let me know, but I think we're kind of in the right place. Two kind of health updates. The first is we're meeting with Indian Commander Mott, I believe, community UC for disability. Here, we can look into our mental disability because a quick update about 5 years ago, we had something that we would adjust in UC to get that they could reach out for if they had questions. Industry Zero People said that our schedule was a pet and actually reached out for. So we're going to be restructuring that. Third thing is something that I think all of you could potentially be involved with. We're Jack and Katie and I are working on neurodiversity ally training. So the biggest point of that is that we realize that there are a lot of people within the community that have a wide range of spectrum of neurological conditions, whether that's depression all the way to ADHD or autism or anything like that. And so what we're going to be doing is setting up a number of training sessions and opening it up to RAs as well as to members of the IOC and CanHealth. They're the most part of the board. We're going to get some confirmation. We'll hopefully be doing training for a number of RAs as well as IOC and CanHealth industry that you guys have suggestions for in February. Final thing is Lana and Noah came up with a fantastic idea called Team Dare. They talked about it briefly, but we're going to be with some programmers that have designed surveys to connect students next year. So if you have any suggestions for that, whether you're part of the country or anything like that, feel free to reach out to them. They're the ones to kind of start it and work with them.
Great, thank you. Next is an appropriations committee update, DC Block.
We met on Monday. Next week. We are hearing class council, alternative breaks, and Cornell Cinema. All three of these groups are open to everyone, so feel free to come. There's always food, a lot of fun. Also, just as a note to everyone, this week was the first week that I sent out budgets with at least one of the organizations. I'm sorry I didn't do that earlier, but in the future, take a look through the budget before you come here for the appropriations committee announcements, because I think that you'll be able to make a much better decision on whether or not you approve of that composition if you've actually done to see the budget. So that was attached to this week's email. NCPC was not attached because they took that initial data. But yeah, it'll be on the future, all future agendas.
Great, thank you. And next up, Communications Committee update, VP Harris.
Thank you. All Communications Committee members are planning on today. We're going to start meeting probably twice a month. One of the issues we're working on for the video update is meeting up with split media film updates. So it's the first edition of the year. We have many elected members who also signed an email. They asked us for about half an hour, and we'll have the media film
Great. Good stuff. And finally, a diving committee update. Representative Peter.
So we are
going to
be meeting with the committee.
committee is doing great things. Fantastic, everyone. Finally, or I'm going to say this now, I'll send out an email later today. The exec board has been talking about forming an Into the Streets team. So if you guys, everybody else is interested in doing it, if there are some interested people, I'll send that email out and you guys just, what? I don't know. Sure. But if you're interested, just respond to that email. Representative Minister, you have something to say.
Also, the Representative Liu and myself, along with numerous other people, can't keep traffic around for this weekend for the IT Leadership Summit. There are actually a round table discussion at which he's going to be present and engaging in conversation, talking about the different initiatives he has made here at Cornell. So, if any of you would like to reference this one, if you're working on specific things, if you're in mind, please reach out to me or myself.
Fantastic. Next, we're going to move on to business of the day. First on the agenda are the Appropriations Committee decisions and recommendations sponsored by VP Block, and I'm going to turn over the parliamentarian for an explanation.
So there's a little mix-up with the printing of the agenda. I'm assuming most of you either have your computer or a smartphone on you. You should have received an email from me with the agenda for this week's meeting ahead of time. I'm sorry for people in the audience that you can't see it right now. But open up your computers and open up that email and take a look at those recommendations so that you can make an informed decision. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, go for it. You have 2 minutes.
Great. So the first recommendation that the appropriation for the speech is the North Campus Burger. The North Campus Burger was spot on the community center council during the last time it was funded out of what they had at $2 per person. North Campus Burger is our goal to design a program that makes sense to the community on campus, not just for the program, but for all of our campus customers. The appropriation to me was allocated $1.50 So the reason for this is very simple. The appropriation committee felt there were a number of very large and very expensive events that any community put on at very high cost per attendee. Two specific events were the Adams and Lee event in 2011 for the subsidy of $116 per attendee and the Adams tax year for the total subsidy and the total cost of $40 per attendee. And the committee felt that was excessively expensive. At the same time, the appropriation we recognize that this is difficult. There are a wide range of people there, but the committee is really considered valid in having a regular PCC possibly to have some events going on there, especially for people who are listening.
First on the speaker's list is Representative Banat.
Thank you.
Great. There's no one else on the speaker's list. I'll entertain any motions at this time. There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to do a placard vote. All in favor of approving the Appropriations Committee decision on North Campus Programming Council, please raise your placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All opposed? All abstained? And plus two proxies for yes, and Nick voted no, and one no proxy vote. Make sense? There's only 20 voting members, I thought you said. Strucker. Raise them again, sorry. Then I missed that. I'm not a math major, guys. And raise it up and hold it. Don't move. 1, 2. Brianna, is that up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Oh, you, I'm sorry. 21. I didn't count. I'm sorry. Alright, 21 plus two proxies from Representative Murphy and Pritchett. So that's going to be 23. Is that correct? Great. One no from Representative Zasko, the proxy. So 23-1-0. The motion passes.
Point of information.
Point of information. Yes.
When can someone stop you just out of curiosity for the meeting?
Okay. Parliamentarian Berger, do you want to reference the special rule book order for proxy? If you want
really
to.
Quickly, yeah.
To do a proxy, you have to submit an invite before the meeting, and it can only be for both business resolutions.
Essentially?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No problem. Okay, so next on the agenda is going to be your next one, which is, who is this? Cornell Minds Matter. Take it away, 2 minutes. Anybody on speaker's list? Seeing none. Oh, you. Seeing no speakers, I'm going to entertain a motion. Any motions at this time? There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to move to a placard vote. Raise them high if you're in favor of approving a Cornell Mines matters allocation. 1, 2, 3, 4. All opposed? All those abstain. Plus 3 proxies from Representatives Murphy, Pritchett, and Basco. So total is going to be 24-0-0. The motion passes. And then your final one for Aljo Odyssey. 2 minutes. We'll work it out. Tell him he just ate up 15 of your seconds. Go for it.
The next thing, the last thing we need to remember,
Seeing none, that's it for you, thanks. Next item on the agenda is Resolution 10, 11, and 12 regarding the student court parliamentary burger. If you will carry on with your intro, at this point I'm going to step down as chair for the duration of the discussion on these three resolutions because I am a sponsor and it is a conflict of interest. So, EDP ballots will now be changed. And public hearing will work it out.
I just wanted to say that we're going to run it a little bit differently. I know that we're going to be able to debate today, and I think everyone has a lot to say. So I'm going to limit speaking time for everyone to 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes, 1 minute. At first, Ulysses and Scott will have 5 minutes to address things that they've discussed over the past week, to clarify emails they received, etc. And what's going to happen is when your minute is halfway up, I'm going to tap one. So that means you'll have 30 seconds left. And when I tap twice, your time is up and you need to stop speaking. All right? Is that okay?
Clarify the things that may not have been clear last meeting.
talking to the supplier about how to make a very clear selection committee. Who is going to be a justice? So in order to get five justices, the chief justice will be appointed by the president from the qualified selection. The president will be appointed from the selection pool, and it will be confirmed by the majority vote of this body. The other four justices will come from the qualified selection pool. Who's in the qualified selection pool and who's getting selected from that? If our who's on that committee, who selects the justice? That person who represents the committee from this body, as well as the three representatives from the UA Association. So, no, there are no members of the SA on this body. There are two SA members that are going to be selecting the four other justices, as well as the majority consent to decide for who shall be the chief justice. So, I want to clarify
that. The other part of that is, the other part is, I know there was confusion about ways in regard to the SA actually being contested, is that decision absolutely final. First, we have to look at the guidance process of the way every case that comes from the greater than 20 minutes file, not necessarily the one that we heard. That's not that idea. When the case that involves the constitution of the SA Act comes into play, the court has to ask itself a couple of questions. First question is, is that action under the purview of the within the purview of the jurisdiction that is in that action? If the answer is no, then it is yes. The next question that we ask is, does the plaintiff demonstrate or prove that there is a demonstrated harm caused by the action? If the answer to that question is yes, then okay, that the action is not upheld. However, if it is no, then the court is just going to hold that action. That simply means that the
seconded. Any dissent? All right, so by unanimous consent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's, or whatever, we could pass it vote. All right, fine. I wanted to make things quicker. All right, so if you would like to vote in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Okay. Does anyone vote against the motion? All right. Does anyone abstain? All right. So the vote is 21-0-0. The motion passes.
The next part of the vote would be the motion 20.02i, the article 6. And then 20.02i, the engineer, and the motion describes the two words
for the motion. Can you repeat
that, please? So, article 6.
There's been a motion to amend.
Second.
All right.
Motion to vote.
There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? Okay. So we're going to do a placard vote. If you vote in favor for the amendment, please raise your placard. All right. If you vote against the amendment, please raise your placard. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. All right, so by a vote of 21-0-0, the amendment passed.
So, we concluded our amendment at this time.
Great, thank you. So, are you ready for me to open this up to everyone? Okay, so guys, remember to grab my attention if you're on the speakers list, but we're going to start off where we left off last week. And now we're going to start with the 1 minute speaking limit. So first up is Representative Thompson.
Sure, thank you. So one thing I have a question on is in the Supreme Court's letter changes, by 25 and 27, it says that they can report to you to I think it would be better if we allowed the process to be extended, if it's not a lot of money for whatever reason, if they could request academic information to within the board of life. And also, I would like the requirement of the field to be implemented, that if you were to be interested in the field, they get one request.
Okay. So next on the speaker's list is Representative Maletti. from last week. You can say no if you don't want to speak anymore. You can yield your time. Next on the speakers list is Representative Henderson.
Yeah, so I guess we want to have a discussion on the moral policy approved by a majority vote. The way that I read 504 and a half is that only the D7 is approved, but not the other four that come from the Posture Committee. So I would motion to amend 504 to say the justices of the USDA shall be appointed by the Committee of 3 minutes.
No, two taps can do that.
Excellent.
So there's been a motion to amend. There's been a second. We're going to, I think that maybe we should have Matt, Representative Henderson, repeat the amendment, and then we are going to do a placard vote.
Yeah, so 504, at the end of the first sentence, it says, and two, at the end of the finance, add, comma, subject to the consent of the leading member.
Motion to vote.
All right. So there's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. We are going to vote by a placard vote. If you would like to vote in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Okay. Okay. If you would like to vote against this amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 20-1-0, the amendment passes. Yes, Henderson? Is there a point of information? Oh, okay. Next on our speakers list is Representative Block.
Great. So I will say, I think I'm less against the broad idea of having an alternative dispute resolution body in the Commissioner's office. But I will say, after thinking about this, I am against this resolution, and this for a number of reasons. First off, I really want you guys to consider how legalistic this is becoming. And I think Mary Beth Grant really brought this up in her email. Just even reading a sentence in Article 4 of the Powers, it says, when an order of the court issued by the Chief Justice is framed as an injunction, no remedy may be issued until after the continuance hearing in front of a two-thirds majority of the court. The sitting justices shall have the power to make the orders described herein permanent. And really, ladies and gentlemen, we strive to make our institution as accessible as possible to the student body. And here we have a very legalistic document for many students who are not going to understand this. But I'll also say that alternative dispute resolution is broadly supposed to be a casual conversation when you bring in people and have an honest discussion about how can we look at something from someone else's point of view? How can we work together to resolve a situation? And I don't think that a formal legal procedure is the best way to do that. I think that it adds a lot of formality to a process that we shouldn't have. But I'd also say that that's the motion to extend.
All right, there's been a motion to extend. Is there a second? By how long?
1 minute.
All right, you got 1 minute.
I'd also say I think it's very interesting that at last week's meeting, President Smith, when I asked him why not just have the parliamentarian do many of these tasks, he said, well, we've had a great parliamentarian in the past, but in many years it's been like pulling teeth to find a parliamentarian. And so I find it interesting that if it's like pulling teeth to find one person to interpret our charter, now we're going to find five people to interpret our charter. That, to me, just doesn't really add up, Mr. Smith. Finally, I'd say that I really disagree with a lot of the powers that we're creating here. I mean, again, this is supposed to be a body that's supposed to be an alternative dispute resolution body first. It's supposed to casually bring people in. And having this formal system is not the way to do it. I think that we can move forward with this broad idea of having a way for Dean of Students organizations to come in and resolve disputes. I don't think it's through this bureaucratic conception that I really don't think is going to be used that often. And finally, I have an amendment. I'm going to amend that we strike, and again, I really do urge that we fail this and find a better alternative dispute resolution body, but I'm going to motion to amend section 7.06d, as I don't think students should be able to fine students. I think that's very arbitrary, to remove that, and also to remove section article 10, when it talks about finances, it says that fees would go into the SAF general fund, which we allocate our entire student activity fee, so I don't really know what we would do if we put it into the SAF. It doesn't really make sense. So I ask that we strike Article 10.01, as we can't simply put money into the student activity fee because we've already allocated every penny that comes from the student.
All right, so we're going to do this one amendment at a time. Okay? So there was a motion to amend section 7.06D. Has there been a, does anyone second?
Second.
Yeah.
Okay, so the amendment is to strike from if the court feels all the way up until contempt. All right, is everyone clear? So we're going to do a placard vote. If you are in favor for this amendment, please raise your placard. Okay. If you are against this amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 20-1-0, the motion passes, or the amendment passes. Now we're going to do the next amendment. Jeff, would you like to clarify exactly what that amendment was?
Sure. So I would like to strike section 10.01, which reads, all receipts from penalties imposed by the USC shall be paid to the Office of Assembly to credit that the general fund of student organizations. Is A, there are no more penalties, I don't believe, in the document. And secondly, it's impossible to add money to the SAF general fund. That's not something that exists.
Okay, so there's been a motion to amend. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, there's been a second. Now we are going to vote by placard. So if you would like to vote in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to vote against this amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain. Okay, so by a vote of 20-0-1, the amendment passes. If you would like a response? Yeah, of course, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. So I think Chief Block brings up a lot of good points that we need to have about what we need to discuss together. And so I would encourage you to look again at Eric Efferent's email, and he does agree that this body has merit and represents will do a lot of good. I do see the point about people being part of it. That was her only suggestion, which I agree with you, if you want. This is an easy point by the part, but here in my second thing, however, the great thing that we can do is that they need to be there because honestly, there's no other better word to put it than that means we are losing for something. There's a difference between the way the law is written and the law is interpreted. There's a way that we can write it in a formal way that explains exactly what we mean, but then the way we go about conducting our day-to-day business will reflect more of the informal mediatory function first. That is our role, and I'm totally on board with DPWAT's comment on that. That is not the DPQ. However, I do agree that the language in here is necessary in order to create
all right, thank you very much for this response. So next on our speakers list is Syed. Perfect timing. So if you could please repeat what you just motioned. Repeat the edit. Repeat the edit so that everyone can know before they decide to second. There's been a motion. Would anyone like to second?
Second.
Okay. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we're going to do a proctored vote.
Motion to vote?
Yes.
Second.
Sorry. So there's been a motion to vote and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. So we're going to do a proctored vote on this. If you would like to vote in favor of this resolution, or amendment to the resolution of 11, part, please raise your placard. Okay. If you would like to vote against this amendment to resolution 11, please raise your placard. Okay? If you'd like to abstain to the amendment to Resolution 11, please raise your placard. Okay. So, by a vote of 19-1-1, the amendment to Resolution 11 passes. All right. Next on our speakers list is Melissa.
I want to agree with most of Black sentiments, and I want to also make an amendment. Section Article 5.04, I'd like to further change that section to read that the justices of the you SC shall be appointed by committee, or the justices and the chief justice of the USC shall be appointed by a committee consisting of 3 members of the UA, both the judicial committee and 2 members of, or 2 SA members, and then continuing on with how it was previously amended. So essentially, the committee is also choosing the chief justice. The president is no longer the one solely making that decision. I don't think it's appropriate for one single person to appoint someone of this position. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Sorry, Representative Borja. Next on our speakers list is...
Wait, I made a motion.
Oh, you made a motion. I'm sorry. So a motion has been made. Would anyone like to second that motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any dissent? All right. So I can't do anything.
I move
so
the vote. Another...
You'd like to go into discussion because there's no motion? Okay, great.
Great. So it took a long time to figure out what the best policy for this. And it's difficult to reconcile our current structure and solve the with having a non-technical perspective. I think it's like that, that none of these people can show that like everybody can teach that. That was how the business was covered last year. And those businesses were covered last year when you brought up the feedback. So it's like a change to reflect.
Great. So if anyone else would like to speak or make a motion. Okay.
I will just say briefly, I think there is a slight distinction between choosing the executive archivist of the assembly, which is quite frankly not our most influential position on the assembly, not to say that we don't appreciate his work, but compared to someone who can issue injunctions to the student body, I think that there is a difference between those two that is very fundamental.
Ulysses, you can respond. Are you done?
Motion to vote.
Yeah, well, say, Representative Ali Khan was on the speaker's list for this amendment.
Yeah, so it's just changing 5.04 to read that the justices and the chief justice of the USC shall be appointed by committee and then continue on for the rest of the sentence. And the reasoning for that is that I don't think it's appropriate for one person to appoint this. Even though the assembly can approve or not. I think that by the president initially appointing it, that's automatically going to change the discussion. Then having a committee discuss it, go into depth, and make the decision. I don't think it's appropriate for the president to make a decision like this, despite how great it is for us.
Okay, I'm sorry, Representative Rashad, you're going to have to clarify for me. Would you like to be on the speaker's list for this amendment? Okay, great. Okay. You two can respond if you'd like.
So the thing with that is that we have elected officials like that to choose whether we have a number of people who are advancing what you have. And it gets crazy. And that is going to surprise the court. And now you have people in the same way that the politicians are going around to people making claims, promises, they have their own affiliations to things. I think you keep this in the application process where they're vetted by a committee of people who have been doing it for a long time before now. It's better than having them run for a position similar to what you do.
So it's the committee that's outlined here picks the person, and then the person and all the other justices come before the assembly for approval. So because I think that this body is a little bit too large to have a discussion about the person.
All right. Great. There's been a motion. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to vote by a placard vote on this amendment. If you are in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Okay. If you are against this amendment, if you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 13-7-0. What? Wait. Okay. Someone's about to vote. Okay. So we're gonna re-vote. Okay. So if you are in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. Okay. If you are opposed to this amendment. If you would like to abstain. All right. So now the vote is 14-7-0, which I believe means that the CMS passes. Oh, then it was 2/3. All right. So that actually means that the motion fails.
Wait, what?
Can we
explain that again, please?
Yeah,
yeah.
Jordan.
Because there is no previous that is given before the meeting that we would be voting on this particular amendment, then we have either 2/3 of the votes passed in favor or a majority of the members of the entire session voting on this.
And is it 14 to
30? Do you want to see the...
No, I just don't understand. 14.
No, but we only 21 fresh.
14 would be a majority.
14. 14 to 7.
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought. The vote is 14 to 7 to 0. Okay,
yeah.
So, sorry about the confusion. The motion does pass. Great. Awesome. Yeah. So, we were a little bit concerned because there was no previous knowledge of this amendment that we were going to need. There was a little discrepancy about what percentage of the vote we needed. It turns out we just need 2/3. 14-7, the math works out. Great? All right. So, next on the speakers list is Representative Batista. Vice President Batista.
Thank you both for coming. I really think that you have a lot of time for this. However, in the section 8.03, I think there's a lot wrong with the temporary restraining orders and the election. The fact that a party has the right to request temporary restraining orders is really no underlying substantial evidence of how that's going to be enforced. I feel like this is really out of power for the Supreme Court. These summons should be taken up by the actual power that's going to be enforced. And in fact, if you all did, it's something that's allowed to be accepted. I just don't understand how a mandatory assumption is going to be something that's going to be enforcing a restraining order against a student. So I ask that you motion to strike 8.03A, B,
and C. So all of 8.03. Second.
We can discuss it. I really want to bring up discussion about that.
Okay, so first on the speakers list for this amendment is Jeff.
I completely agree with Vice President Batista. I think, again, this shows that, you know, if we want to have an alternative dispute resolution board, we don't need to give the power of injunction to students. And more importantly, guys, how ridiculous is it going to sound? I mean, if it's five people say you have an injunction on you, I mean, what's the enforcement mechanism for that? Like, there's no enforcement mechanism for that. So now we're just issuing rulings that have no, probative value. They have no actual impact. And I think that, again, this shows that the court is going to issue things that the students don't need to follow. And I can't really imagine the effectiveness of a court injunction if you can just do whatever it tells you can.
All right, thanks. Next on our speaker list on this amendment is Representative Polsky. There's been a motion to extend by 1 minute. There's been a second. Is there any dissent?
So the part of the mediation process at first is actually quite a barrier that you get into the actual hearing process and then the appeal process. The whole point is to go to mediation first. That is the primary area of the primary area. However, because of that, I think I should talk about the other area for like appropriation while the meeting is going on, because it's the perspective of the meeting and the meeting is like I think the reason is like that the support system is very important. How does the government go over the issue? How does the government also look at their own systems on the internet? Look at the lenders in the primary. Even back to the bottom, we can find out about all the things. The lenders are paying out of it. That's the best. They do a lot of the same work. So I'm not sure where the whole system is high.
Point of information?
Yes.
Just to clarify for the debate, so if you would. A point of information, so if the court gives you an injunction, so you have an injunction against you, what happens then?
So an injunction action, that happens the same way that a lot of suspension is the court of appeal, you have to represent that in the United States, you can also, whoever the person is charged with, the court of appeal is subject to that. And it's the same, we can ask them, why should we comply with what we did? You can make the same argument if you're not used by the fire company to comply with that. And it's the exact same thing. So that's the thing we can do. Whoever was in charge of the related case has stopped before like, a lot of the cases are proceeding.
And if you fail to comply with the injunction, what occurs?
So, keep your organization operating in the case of the court, right? It is funding that concept. They get access to university property. They have recognition from their institution process. They have things like their advisors. All those keywords in these contracts. The proper remedy is if your advisor is attempting to get involved in something like this, or if we're not allowed access to the university facility anymore.
So it affects your registration status? I'm just trying to clarify what the remedy is, because it doesn't seem like there's one set out, and I think it'd be helpful for discussion.
I'm sorry, your 2 minutes just ended. All right. So I'd just like to point out that our time has been extinguished for this portion of the agenda. I'm open to motions.
Motions are stable. I think that we are all funding and the issue is going to be brought up. I think we need to be operators this motion to amend this resolution, that this was starting to surface on this legality, and I see it as now becoming more of a organization mediation function. And I think that before we make a vote on this, I think we need to take another piece of freedom and motion.
Point of information. Point of information.
Okay, yeah.
Before you table the resolution, don't you have to figure out what the amendment is, what's happening with the amendment before you get to table the entire resolution?
Yes.
After based on the point of your procedure, don't you have to figure out what's going on with the amendment before you actually table the resolution?
Okay. So I think everyone needs a little bit of clarification on what the amendment is.
My amendment is water to strike 10 minutes.
on the basis that I do not feel that the Supreme Court has the undeniable ability to enforce the restraining order. It was not about the legality of the wording of the letter, the fact that they should not be enforcing the restraining order. That's the issue.
Okay, so there's been a motion. Is there a second?
This is a vote on the on the table or on the amendment?
On the amendment.
If she wants to, well, we cannot vote on her motion to table until we close her amendment. All right? So we are going to amend to strike section 8.03, the temporary restraining order / injunction section. That's the amendment. All right? So right now we are going, if anyone has a motion, did someone just motion to vote? I'm sorry. Okay.
Did someone motion to vote in a second?
Motion to vote.
Okay. Now that there's been a motion to vote, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent to vote on this amendment? Seeing none, we will do a proper vote. Yes. We are, the motion on the table is Juliana's amendment that we will strike section 8.03. Great. So, if you would like to vote in favor of Juliana's amendment, please raise your flag. All right. Is everyone placarded up and high? Okay. If you would like to oppose that amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, all right, by a vote of 12-5-4, the motion fails. All right. How long would you like to, the motion to, for future reference, if you're motioning someone to extend or motioning to table, you need to specify the length of time. Until next meeting, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah.
So, when I raise my hand, because this is because I had a similar agreement that I wanted to propose, but before that, I wanted to also ask for the judge what I want to point. It isn't the same, like, how would we report?
All right, Nick, I'm sorry, I mean, if you have dissent for the fact that we already made this amendment, you actually were the last person on the speakers list, and you're not anytime soon. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but according to Matt's motion, if it does pass, you would be on the speakers list for next week.
Okay. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, is that all right? Is that clear? Okay. And you can also speak with the sponsors of the resolution outside of this space if you have questions or would like some clarification. All right?
I second Matt's motion.
Okay, so there's been a motion and there's been a dissent. I'll allow you to explain it.
All right, here's my name. Given that we have a problem with overall structure, I do not think that by the next meeting we will be able to substantively change and get all the legal jargon we have a problem with to give us something to look at. I think it's better that we have a vote on actual legislation and then if you turn it down, they can just like stop and create something different. I don't think they're going to be able to substantially change it in the way we'd like to see it within a week. It should come back up to the same part. I think we need to adjust and assess this as it is now. And if you do not like it, like the framework is like provide, you should deny it.
All right.
Point of clarification. So could there be an amendment to postpone indefinitely until the assembly feels like they feel uncomfortable doing the fact?
Okay. So I will allow you two to respond if you have a maximum of 1 minute between you.
Yeah, maybe it's not to be ready to go to the next week,
Guys, so, you know, with the waving me down, there isn't necessarily, like, a speaker's list right now. I think it was because Devin explained, or Representative Hudson explained his dissent. Now that it's time for us to vote, we're just voting to table. Okay. So, we are going to vote and decide if we can table this until next meeting. Alright? So, if you are in favor... Okay. If you are in favor of tabling this until next week, please raise your placard now. Okay. If you are not in favor of moving of the motion to table this until next week, please raise your placard. Okay. If you are, if you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 18-3-0, this has been tabled until next week. All right. Thank you guys very much.
I think it's going to be a little bit more early, but I think it's a perfect opportunity for everyone here to go back to the voice and maybe have a perfect form of outreach. You know, as much as we talk about going to events and being, I think it's a perfect example of asking people what you think about it. So, next meeting, I'm going to hear again about the great idea. And once again, I'm going to talk about the great idea. I think that is a way to actually be more productive than before. You go back and have people.
Yeah, Toby. I'll entertain it.
Thank you, Chelsea, and I appreciate that. Note I'm stepping back up as chair at 6:33 p.m. And in the last 7 minutes, we are going to hear Resolution 13, the Student Assembly's PR plan for this year by VP Harris.
As well as
Communications Committee members, Vice Chair, sorry, Kittinger, Jevin Hudson, and Lindsay Warshaw. All right, you have 2 minutes.
Okay,
First one to speak at this is Representative Kusenko.
So, I kind of stressed this during the summer, but I think that the plan is very similar to the tried in the past. And, you know, for example, the Chipotle giveaway, obviously, is really scheduled for today and not really an issue. So, I was just wondering if you have different ways to approach students on even the physical kind of Facebook, Instagram, you know, Twitter kind of thing, that you know, website thing that you've been doing for a long time.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Block. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so I think looking at the long-term goals that you send out, a lot of them seem to use buzzwords like increased engagement between undergraduate students and that day.
New business.
Into the current public relations structure. And what are the actual tangible things you want? Like, do you want more people at our meetings? Do you want more people at our outreach? Because at the end of the day, getting likes does nothing for the assembly. Getting people in here into our committees, or getting people to run, or getting people to engage with assembly members in discussion is what really matters. So I'm a little bit worried about the goals. And I guess if you also want to talk a little bit about the implementation. It's very easy for us to pass this and say, yep, engagement's good, let's get people excited. I mean, what are we actually going to do to increase our life? Are we just going to, you know, give out food all the time, or are we going to actually, you know, make a connection with people?
Before I let you answer that, Parliamentarian Berger, can you give your intro for this resolution, please? I forgot, and it clearly needs to be said.
You just got that past you.
Adoption of the public relations plan will require a majority vote of the essay on this question. It is currently used as a vote, so it cannot be voted on. It can be used as a business of the day with a 2/3 vote of the essay.
So please remember, it's new business, questions and comments that are not argumentative in nature.
Oh.
Please continue.
My apologies.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Your comments are not being heard. So I guess you're asking about the situation. If people were to say,
next, oh, go ahead. Great, that's fine. DP the piece then. Give her the mic to thank you.
Thank you guys all for coming. I just wanted to hear a little bit more about the local house development and the question before.
Essentially, this is an unintended meeting in many ways. Both as a student assembly,
Here, we divide it for you, we divide it for a single organization. And essentially, the university administration is always on West Coast, 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 West
Coast, West Coast,
Motion to extend for a minute.
Motion to extend for a minute, that means we're extending the meeting by a minute. Go ahead.
Yes. There is wide calibration across marketing, business strategy, across IT, and Cornell Science Institution that we're working with organizations that we're working with right now to quickly develop what will be a pilot for full application. So this is a long-term business with the partner, two, and administration, and communication between the media and media. In the middle, so we can really improve really what is offered throughout the university through Cornell signing applications, potentially offering a full application to individuals and organizations to facilitate their own action.
And then, That's time. Seeing as now the time is now 6:31, I will entertain any motion. There's been a motion to adjourn. It has been seconded. Seeing as this is new business, we'll come back up next week for a full discussion. We will continue with the previous meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.